Come to order. Will the clerk call the roll, please?
Mr. Kespel?
Here.
Mr. Dudley?
Here.
Ms. Nauzer?
Here.
Ms. Hoppy?
Here.
Mr. McDavid?
Here.
Mr. Sturts?
Here.
Mr. Thornhill?
Here.
May I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Welcome to the meeting. We have a special meeting tonight. We're going to discuss one item on the agenda, Bill 122-10. There will be an opportunity for public comment. We're going to restrict comment to this single issue. If you represent, if you're a representative of one of the parties, you're entitled to 5 minutes. Members of the public are entitled to 3 minutes. Will the clerk read Bill 122-10?
Council Bill 122-10 is an ordinance authorizing a funding and property transfer agreement with Columbia Area Jobs Foundation in connection with the establishment of an IBM office and technical support facility in Columbia, authorizing the city manager to waive certain contingencies in the agreement and to terminate the agreement if all contingencies are not waived or met, authorizing the city manager to approve the final form of various documents subject to certain provisos, appropriating funds, and fixing the time when this ordinance shall become effective. Second reading.
May we have staff report?
This is the legislation that really authorizes the city's part of the IBM deal. It does really two things from a 5,000-foot level, the first of which is to agree to a funding and property transfer agreement with the Columbia Area Jobs Foundation, or KJEF, and they are being used primarily to meet IBM's timeframes. If the city was to do it itself, we could not have a facility ready for them by November 1st. And the second piece is to appropriate the $500,000, which is the down payment for the purchase of the building. And remember that the city will own, by the end of the year, the building as it's improved. And with that, I'd ask either Fred or Mike if they want to make some other comments.
No comments. If anyone has any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer them.
Council questions.
I could start. Could you just walk us through the monthly rent? I know it's a complicated deal, but my understanding is that KJEF or the city will be basically paying off a 6% loan for 10 years. Will be about $111,000 a month. IBM directly will pay us that $1,100,000, or would it just come straight from the state incentive money?
No, the state money is separate. That will go to IBM. IBM would make a monthly rent payment. There'd be two components to that. One is called a fixed rent, excuse me, which is the amount to amortize the loan over 10 years, and the other is additional rent, which basically pays the operating cost.
Like the janitor fees and the maintenance?
All be a management company, the management company fees plus, you know, snow removal, ice removal, maintenance.
And the utilities would all be folded into that?
Right.
Okay.
And also the pilot would be part of that.
Thanks.
Other questions? This bill has an amendment sheet. I would like a motion to amend per the amendment sheet.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Would anyone from the public like to speak?
Good evening. I'm Dave Griggs. My address is 6420 Highway VV. I'm the chairman of Ready and happen to be a member of the KJEF board, so for what that's worth. As I was preparing some different remarks for you tonight, since most of you have heard this story so many times that I have to change it because I'll lose track, but then I stopped and looked in a room, and how many people in a room, I'd like to know, have been involved in this project? Would you stand up? Thank you very much. So on behalf of Ready, the city, KJF, and our community, thank you very much, everyone, for your work. I really want to talk tonight about the use of economic development incentives. I've heard some rumblings in the community about why should one company get incentives and another company not get incentives, and what's the impact on that. And I would like to just kind of give you a very, very instantaneous overview. Mike Brooks will go into far greater depth on the project and the impact of the project and what we've done. But a couple of years or so ago, there was a project that came to Ready called Project CHIP, which needed 100,000 square foot building plus or minus in a very short time frame, et cetera. We submitted a building in the same industrial park, said we have Chapter 100 economic development in bonds, tax abatement bonds, and a fabulous community, et cetera, and we never heard from Project CHIP. And Project CHIP happened to be this company's facility that opened in Dubuque, Iowa, because Dubuque, Iowa basically gave them the farm, in my opinion, and it, a building with all kinds of improvements and things. And Mike can hit on the economic development package that went to that. I would tell you that we are here tonight because of the result of a tremendous community effort. And I'll just very lightly touch on that. But that involved our educational institutions, our companies, individuals here tonight, many, many others, our state and local governments brought us here. We had a, and you have a kind of a fact sheet of the companies and individuals involved in this project. There were 52 different corporate entities involved in recruiting Project Tiger or IBM. I find it very difficult to say IBM because I said Project Tiger so long and chastise everybody that mentioned the three letters of the company. But 52 corporate entities and 112 individuals in the community that helped us do that. Talked about economic development incentives or investment, and I want to take you quite a ways back in history. In 1839, the first use of economic development incentives came to Columbia, Missouri, when 900 citizens raised $117,900 to locate the University of Missouri in Columbia. There was quite an effort to locate the university in neighboring communities, and it literally went down to a bidding war, and Columbia raised the most. In 1892, some almost 60 years later, 50 years later, came the second round of of incentives in our Columbia, when Academic Hall burnt down and left our columns, and there was a real move to move the university to Jefferson City at that time. The community members stepped forward again and raised over $50,000 to start to build Jesse Hall. Put that in perspective, $50,000 to build the original Jesse Hall was rather amazing. I received a call a couple of weeks ago from a gentleman I was on the county commission with, and he said, Dave, when did Project Tiger start? And I just want to share some things I've really thought about that. I would tell you that our system of economic development as we know it today really started in about 1987 when the county, the city, and the university formed Ready, of which Mr. Watkins was our first regional economic development person. From there, about 2004 or so, we worked on a Chapter 100 program. The university made economic development its fourth mission. All of those things, council action, countless council actions to reinforce the community. Downtown Columbia is a very vibrant city. Our parks, our trail systems, the amenities that we all have just grown so used to were extremely, extremely impressive to the representatives of the company. It's just amazing what we have. Councilwoman Hoppe and Mike Brooks and I were on KBIA today kind of talking about this. It's amazing the amenities and the things that we have in Columbia, Missouri that we just don't really realize. And bringing in corporate executives from all over the United States, taking them in a tour bus around Columbia to show them our housing and our community, et cetera, and hearing their responses was just truly invigorating, absolutely amazing. We have in our group the things that really impressed the company: parks, trails, housing, downtown, community, the synergy of the program that we put together, our banking partners, our development team, our educational team, all made significant impact, and I personally want to thank them. Mike Brooks is here who will really go in depth on the economic impact of this, but I just wanted to thank you and explain to you a little bit of additional background into what caused this moment. And tonight is your opportunity and our opportunity to finalize this deal. And I want to assure you that the economic commitment that you're about to make, if you think about the earned media that Columbia, Missouri has gotten in the last week, is absolutely priceless. Copying a MasterCard commercial, but it's amazing the buzz about Columbia, Missouri. This is truly the start of a great future for us. Thank you.
Could I ask a quick question of Mr. Griggs? You were part of this process from the beginning. I think you can answer this question the best. There's this trend with IBM and probably most high-tech companies of offshoring jobs. I think between 2005 and 2010, they went from about 133,000 jobs to about 100,000 jobs, because most of those jobs were sent overseas to places like India. Can you tell me why exactly would they find locating in Columbia more attractive than offshoring some of these jobs?
To be very honest with you, no, I can't tell you exactly why. I can tell you that this is the third one of these centers, that in their business plan, they planned several years ago to have up to five of these centers as this portion of their business and synergy kept growing. I think why Columbia, Missouri? First center was in Michigan State and East Lansing. Yeah. College community, very similar demographics. Dubuque, Iowa is quite similar in many respects. The company, we are told about 60 or 70 people may be brought in from other areas of the company, and the rest of the workforce will be local people. They were very concerned about the workforce in, I'll use the term, the region. And in my opinion, that region is probably a 60 or 90 mile radius around Columbia. And they really grilled us on workforce availability. The educational assets that came to the table to work with customized training programs to help get the existing workforce, as well as to commit to do specialized training for graduates and tech school graduates, et cetera, was very, very important to the company. So I really think just the assets of this whole region is what caused them to choose Columbia, Missouri. But I think 3 or 4 years ago, they started making this plan to bring at least this source of business and the way it works back into the states.
It seems very promising then that we're going against their national, international trend. One more question, and it might be something better for Mike. We're talking about 600 full-time employees minimum for this arrangement.
Yes, 600 company employees and up to 200 contract employees initially.
How will those numbers be vetted by the city and the state? Will there be a third party certifier for those numbers?
For the first term of the lease, it's primarily the state's build program, which is a state incentive, which is based on the actual number of jobs and the actual average payroll of those jobs. And a company has to submit certified reports to the Department of Revenue and the Department of Economic Development, and they verify that the company meets those parameters, and then those incentives are issued.
How stringent of a verification process is that?
It's pretty darn stringent, as I understand. I mean, they've got the state withholdings records, so they can cross-reference in the computer systems that, yes, these people, they also have obvious access to state income tax returns. Yes, these people are employed. Yes, these payrolls are verified. Yes, these people actually work there, and therefore we will commit our part. And as I understand it, those you have to have a minimum of 100 employees to apply for this incentive. And then you get, when you reach the next threshold of 100 employees, you can apply for the next portion of the incentive. So it is a very formal, established process. The fallback is if they don't meet the parameters, they don't get the incentive. They have a pretty darned ironclad lease with the community that says, we're here. After the build program and that state verification process stops, which is at the end of year 10, the lease further goes into a system of, in essence, if they drop below 600 jobs, the rental cost increases incrementally with each job that is lost. So they're pretty deeply committed and deeply tied to maintaining that payroll.
And the 600 job threshold, that's at an average of 45,000 or 55,000?
Yes.
They have to hit that,
yes,
that number? Was it 55 or?
55,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs.
Good evening. Excuse me, Mike Brooks, President of Regional Economic Development, Director of the City of Columbia's Department of Development. I live at 403 Stallworth Court. Really pleased to be here tonight on this very special occasion, and I would first off say thank you for calling a special session to have this discussion to accommodate this very important issue. And as I go through this presentation, I would remind you at the very front end that we encourage you at the end of the evening to support this very important ordinance. So I want to go through and give you just a little bit of background. I'm going to try to do this quickly because I know there's a lot of discussion, I suspect, to take place tonight. This project came in through the Missouri Department, the Missouri Partnership. They are our partners who are marketing the state of Missouri for economic development attraction projects. They were involved in Project CHIP, which was the earlier project that Mr. Griggs mentioned. The important thing about Project CHIP in this discussion is that when the community, when ready, submitted the proposal for that earlier project, it was submitted, as Dave said, with a Chapter 100 bond offering, but that was basically the entire extent of the incentives. And we quickly were eliminated from that particular project. The request for information laid out quickly the areas that they were looking to have support in. The five areas that you see on the screen: server management, systems operation, database management, storage management, and project management were the areas that they are looking to fulfill. And the criteria, this is the area of questions that we were responsible for providing the RFI to. I'm not going to go through and read them all. You can see them, but there are a couple of things that are really important on there. Proximity to colleges and technical schools, low-cost utilities, the sufficient supply of IT workers. But you get down to the question of the single building preferred full floor size of 100,000 plus or minus square feet. As we surveyed the community, we really only had one option, or at best two. There are two industrial buildings on Limon Industrial that, as industrial buildings, had the space available. If you could visualize the opportunity to convert that space from industrial to office. And so that's basically where we started. And when we looked around the community, we thought about, you know, could we build? Well, the time constraints, of having space ready to go for occupancy in the fourth quarter of this year, understanding that we would not have a decision in January, was completely out of the question. So we quickly eliminated new construction. I know there's questions about, you know, the old Kroenke store on the corner of Broadway and State and Broadway and Providence. That building's not big enough. Just so you know, I mean, it was about half the size of what's needed. So we did go through and spend a lot of time making sure that what we submitted was, in fact, our best shot. We've talked about average salaries. I'm going to mention to you tonight the salary range is going to be somewhere between 30 and 80. We have not seen the job title, so we don't know exactly what the wages will be or payroll will be per job. But that is basically the information they supply on the front end. Somewhat difficult screen to read. The important thing about this screen is that we got the first RFI on January 26th. On May the 17th was the announcement. That is a schedule that's extremely aggressive. In that schedule were three site visits by the company. Three times we repeated the same information to the different team members who came in. And we're extremely appreciative of all the people who participated in those discussions. There were a number of conference calls in there as well, and While all I'm referring to on this slide are the conference calls that were critical to the process, there have been literally maybe not hundreds of conference calls since, but significant numbers. Some of the keys to success. I truly believe we wouldn't be here tonight if the former mayor had not been willing, when we shared with him the project, the RFI, the jobs, the number of jobs, the quality of jobs, and the importance of being able to be aggressive in our offering. Missouri Partnership stressed to us the importance of being aggressive, doing something that got the notice of the company. And so the mayor was willing to basically say, I will do everything in my power as mayor to convince the council to support this. We have an educational consortium that has been key to this process. We have a banking consortium that has been watching by the minute this project. And well, I'm not going to point out a lot of people. I think it's important that you understand that Boone County National, Landmark Bank, Hawthorne Bank, Commerce Bank, and Providence Bank all stepped up as a partnering group to make sure that the funds were necessary for the loan to make this deal go through. We have a media consortium that was put together late in the deal because of some questions that the company raised. You can't talk about this project and not talk about the importance of the contribution of the Lamone Smith Development, Lamone Trust, and Little Dixie Construction. They were clearly a key member of the team to make this deal work. And as Mr. Griggs mentioned, the quality of community was extremely important. Strong community support, Dave mentioned this, I would just simply echo that that was a key part of our process. So let's move in and talk a little bit about the building, which is what you're here tonight to do. One of two things is purchase that building. 2810 Lamone Industrial Boulevard is zoning controlled industrial, clearly meets the needs of space. This is an overhead map illustrating the development. This is a Google picture of the building. Don't know how old it is, but it's relatively new. But you can see that it is an industrial building. Part of our challenge was convincing the company that you could take an industrial building and convert it to an office building. And that's no small task, as you might guess, for those of you who have driven by this building. So John Simon, part of the development team, spent hours and hours working on developing conceptual drawings and going well beyond the scope of what you would normally ask somebody to do to help in putting together the perspectives of the building that could be to help us visualize what we're talking about here, the site plan, conceptual site plan. And when we finished up the discussion with him, one of the key points that we're trying to say is, you've seen what it can look like. This is what you're really looking at. You're looking at a steel structure that, by stripping off the exterior and the roof, you can put a brand new exterior on it and take an industrial building and make an office building. Now, what's the deal flow look like? I hope I can explain this to you. It looked really logical when I did it on the computer in the office. So as you look at this on the left side of the screen, you have a seller, Lamone Trust, and you have a purchaser, which is KGEF. At the bottom, you have City of Columbia, and we're here tonight to talk about the down payment to be given, in effect, and a transfer of monies to KGEF to form the down payment on that purchase. KGEF then will have the responsibility, and I think hopefully by now, all of those contracts are in place. There is the most important one is the lease with the company, and that was finished on Friday. The construction contract, I believe, was finished today. The building management contract is in place, and the relationship with the banking community is in place. The banks have been asked to lend up to $10 million. It may not fulfill that full 10, but that is the upper limits of the bank loan. And as you look at the IBM portion, you'll see the line drawn to Missouri Build Program. That program is what the company has the access to receive a bond of $8.6 million, which will have a payout over the 10 years of $11.6 million. Those are the dollars the company will more than likely use to pay the $10 million amortization on the loan to KGF, i.e. City, for that 10-year period. But it should be pointed out the lease does not allow any flexibility. The lease has to be paid whether the company, in fact, gets their payments from the bond program. That's their responsibility to create the jobs, maintain the jobs, report the jobs, and that relationship is between this company and the state. And at the end of the process, at the end of this year, when everything is completed, the transfer of the property, the transfer of the lease, everything will come to the city. What are the benefits? The estimates that we have is roughly $77 million in new payroll in the community by virtue of the 800 full-time jobs that are direct in the company and an additional 600 secondary or multiplier jobs in the community. Estimated annual sales tax revenue, which is one of the more significant and quite honestly the source of funds, I suspect, for the city to be able to pay off the portion of the bond that you will be, not bond, but the portion of the contract on purchase of the building that you will have from a very conservative estimate of $507,000 a year to a estimate of $660,000.
Mike, could I just ask that number for the sales tax revenues, that's specifically from the company or would that be the employees and their own lives?
This is total impact, Councillor. This would be more than anything the consumer purchases from the employees, from that $77 million of payroll in the community.
The majority of this $660,000 would be just from the employees living their lives?
There will certainly be some from the company, and the $507,000 estimate, Ed Robb is here tonight. Ed volunteered to do an analysis for us, an independent. That's why I've used both the conservative number and the number 660, which comes from the fiscal impact tool that we have use of from the Federal Reserve Bank. So we've tried to be both conservative and at the same time responsible in responding to you what we really believe the case to be. Obviously, the county will benefit by their portion of the sales tax revenue that they collect. Property taxes are estimated to increase to approximately $700,000 additional revenue. That will probably take place in 2013-2014 timeframe. Of all of the impacts that we're looking at, this is probably the one that would be most delayed because of the purchase of property, the acquisition of employees, et cetera. We anticipate on an annual basis, once it's fully loaded, the school corporation should see an increase in their funding of almost a net $431,000. I mentioned earlier the consumer spendables. Based on the current estimate of household sales on retail sales, we're looking at somewhere on the upside of $17 million of additional retail sales in the community. Lastly, and certainly not unimportant, but probably more important to us than maybe you, but every news article that's gone out has had a tagline of Columbia, Missouri, and we have had some of the best exposure that you could possibly buy, and the good news is that didn't cost us anything. News articles in Washington, D.C., Seattle, Washington, Los Angeles, and elsewhere have created a certain image that is going to be extremely valuable for us as a community. And in fact, today, there is a conference in Las Vegas, the International Council of Shopping Centers, where we have developers there that are using as an opportunity to discuss Columbia's marketplace, the 100,000 population that we have now surpassed, and the IBM attraction, which is extremely important as we look at the attraction of additional retail. So be happy to answer any questions you might have.
I had a question going back to the 700,000 in additional property taxes each year. That's based on 300 of the employees purchasing homes?
Yeah, the Rob Wolverton has recommended that he would expect about 250 new homes that would be built as a result of this project. And the model that we had used was creating a 325 homes. So somewhere between 250 and 300 homes, I think, is probably a very reasonable estimate of the number of new homes.
So my reading of what just happened in Dubuque over the last year is that most of the folks locating there were a little skittish about buying homes, and most of them were renters. Have you done similar research to find that?
As a matter of fact, this is our supposition. There's no facts here. But we believe that because of some of the challenges the company has faced in their establishment of their facility in Dubuque, that the company has actually asked much more detailed questions of us than what maybe were asked then. So, for example, there in our packet of information is a housing vacancy survey, and there are 376 apartments that were vacant at the time this survey was taken in 2009. So we have used available resources that we could find to help answer those questions. The company expressed interest in knowing if we come in, the anticipation is that you're right, many of those employees will rent as opposed to buy on the front end.
In Dubuque, the reports that I heard was that the rental market was absolutely flooded. The IBM employees took out all the remaining stock of that, but they weren't seeing a huge impact in the sales of homes because of the corporate culture. They weren't sure they're going to be there in 5 or 10 years. So if we're basing the $700,000 on, I don't know, 250 to 300 houses, I'm wondering how long that really is going to take to get up there.
You ask a good question, and that's the problem with economic modeling. There's no guarantees. You know, we do the best that we can in the projections of those kinds of information. The suggestion that 250 new homes would result as a result of this, I think, is a legitimate number, but I can't give you any more than the information I've shared with you.
Just last question. What kind of clawback provisions are there if, say, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, you know, all of our best intentions with this deal go south and perhaps IBM changes its plans? We're on the hook basically for the $3 million as a city for the purchase of the building on Limon. It sounds like the $10 million that's going to be going into the rehab of the building, that's IBM's responsibility ultimately in a legal sense. So with $3 million in of our money, what will we be left with if something happened for?
Well, it's almost the perfect clawback because you don't have to do anything. You own the building. You know, often in clawbacks, what you're doing is trying to get back money that you've given. In this particular case, as owners of the building, you inherently have that ultimate clawback from day one. The lease is ironclad in terms of the company's responsibility for 10 years to pay off the $10 million loan. That was a key part of the negotiation that took place. I mean, that without that guarantee, the banking consortium would not have been prepared to make the deal work. And so what I would say to you, if the company after 5 years says this is not working and they choose to leave, we still have 5 years of lease payments to pay off the $10 million. We own a building, we turn around and we take the advantage that we are doing here and use that particular facility as a resource to go out and attract a new company to come into it. So, you know, so often the callback issues are, again, trying to get something you've already given away. This is almost a perfect one, I would say, for you as a city.
Thanks.
I had a question kind of regarding what Paul brought up about the apparent influx of renters. Is it a safe assumption? It's one I'm making. I can't base this on anything, but that our you may be pulling from the university folks who are already living here and most likely in rented units, and that they would be maybe the ones who would buy here.
That's a great point, Councillor. A big difference between Columbia and Dubuque is the magnitude of our educational community. the population of students around 60 miles around Dubuque versus 60 miles around Columbia. I don't remember the exact ratio now, but it was probably less than 50% of the number of students there as we have here. So there's significantly more, I suspect, apartment housing in this area than there was there. Secondly, one of the reasons that they're attracted to this area is because of the potential ability to hire students coming out of University of Missouri, Columbia College, Mobile Area Community College, Lynn State Technical College, and Lincoln University. It's a great resource that we have here in terms of what they offer. And the company has already had preliminary discussions with the colleges about, you know, would you be interested and willing to work with us on curricula to help support the kinds of graduates that would be valuable to us. So that dialogue is started in a very informal way and will progress even further. So I think you're absolutely correct, a significant number. In fact, I want to say roughly 90% of the employees that they intend to hire will come from somewhere within the region, and the region is probably a 60-mile or so radius of Columbia.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Other speakers?
Evening. My name is Joan Beard. I live at 154 West Green Meadows Road. First, I'd like to say that I think it's wonderful that IBM is coming to Columbia. When I read that headline in the newspaper, I was very excited. The more I read, some red flags started popping up. As an average citizen, here were my concerns. There was going to be a $3 million cost to the city, starting with a $500,000 down payment. And we were only going to charge a $1 rent payment per year. Their personal property taxes were going to be exempted. Their property taxes were going to be reduced by 50%. And this building was going to be ours, but we weren't going to be using it. Those things concerned me. Now I find out that the group Ready or K, but that other CAGJF really didn't know about this until January, if that's what I understood. So this has been on a fast track. Now I'm out of town, out of state because of an ill parent on a very regular basis. So if it came about earlier, I missed the news. But this is the first time that I've known we've had a chance for public comment. So I think there should have been more time for the public to absorb this. Also, I read just within the last couple of days that the city finance director says by the end of this year, we're going to go into our reserves. So I'm concerned, is this a timely expenditure when the city is going to go into the reserves? I am a retired educator, and I'm very progressive on taxes. But right now, I'm concerned about this process. I'm glad IBM's coming, but is this the way to get them there? I don't like this terminology I'm going to use, but were we held hostage as a city to provide these things in order to get them there, get them here? And if the city and Ready and KAJF were dealing, why didn't we hear more? Where's the transparency? I think we need transparency. So you've heard my concerns. I would appreciate them being addressed openly. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Pat Fowler, and I reside at 606 North 6th Street here in Columbia. I want to address the return on investment aspect of this project, specifically the renovation of the building that you and KJF are buying. The citizens, through our city, state, and federal dollars, have funded job training programs, particularly construction training programs, for several years. Participants enroll, some wash out, many finish, and some clearly excel. Job Points Columbia Builds Youth and the construction training program at the Columbia Area Career Center are two good examples. The Job Point program in particular seeks out persons with prior criminal convictions for a variety of offenses and offers them the ability, after rigorous study and training and completing of their GED, to be certified in construction. I'm here to request that this IBM initiative include a clear intention by the city and its partners to hire the graduates of these programs as part of the team that will renovate the building and pay them wages that allow them to meet their financial obligations and support their families. And I need to repeat that, because this is what's missing now in our current city and our city programs: steady employment and wages that allow them to meet their financial obligations and support their families. Just like a college kid needs to show that they can carry a full load before they're accepted to their major, we need to allow the graduates of our training programs to be able to demonstrate that they are good employees and steady workers. When I ask the old timers around town how to crack that open and make that happen, they tell me that we need a business person to step up. Well, when you buy a building and start this process, you are the business person that needs to step up and move that process along. When I worked in IT more than a dozen years ago in the Bay Area, IBM was one of the vendors I worked with. I know them. I've studied them. They are very good at reinventing themselves and meeting their market and maintaining their market share. When I was an IT manager, we characterized projects in three ways: either it was not done, it was done, or it was done. Done was reusable work product, documented deliverables, timelines, and benchmarks. I'm asking you to apply that same done standard to closing the loop on this return on investment in our community by making sure the graduates of our training programs who have worked so hard and overcome obstacles have an opportunity for steady employment and good wages. Just as you have strategically worked to bring success on this IBM deal, I'd like to see you strategically work with your partners in that same tenacity to make sure the graduates of our training programs have jobs included with the teams of other people that are hired on this. Saying that this is a good idea to try out in the future next time we have an opportunity is a not done. Saying that we'll recommend that to the contractor is a done, but really seeing it through is a done. I hope these conversations are underway with Little Dixie, the main contractor on this job. If they aren't, Jim Lovelace, a former city council person, is now the president of Job Point, and I'm sure he'd be happy to take your call. Thank you.
Thank you.
If I could follow up with, I have more of a follow up from your concern to the city attorney. Could the kind of concerns Ms. Fowler brings up be integrated into the construction contract at this point, or is it pretty much a done deal given the very tight deadline we're working with in November?
I'll address that and also the concerns about transparency and in the short time frame. Basically, this whole thing was driven by IBM's wanting to get into the building by October the 1st initially, and there was slippage, and now it's November the 1st. But that was the main driver in a lot of things, and it, that led, that plus the fact that they didn't want an announcement until they had worked out the terms of the lease, that prevented us from doing all this in public, which is much more the Columbia way. So in terms of, your question on contracting, working all that out, I mean, you can address it, I guess, to Little Dixie, but basically the construction documents and everything are ready to go and be signed at a closing tomorrow. So, the short answer is no, I don't think those things are going to be changed.
Thanks.
Can I mention that word tenacity again? Thank you.
Thank you. Other speakers?
Else. My name is John Clark. I live at 403 North 9th Street. I'm a licensed attorney. I'm a CPA. I have experience in development. I have about 8 things to mention. I can't explain them in 3 minutes. But the first one is, unfortunately, and I'm very pleased with the work that's been done, but there's a huge flaw in the analysis about the benefits to the city. The notion that sales taxes that are going to come in, especially from houses and so forth, and also property taxes, all those people are coming, all those sales taxes, and all those property taxes are going to be needed to pay for all the services, the infrastructure improvements and so forth that are they're going to need. Ben Laundrie and I did an exhaustive study, which has been unrefuted by anybody, and believe me, people tried, showing about what the capital cost is. So that pot is not there to repay the $3 million. It just isn't. The money that is generated by this is already called for to pay for the additional services, the capital infrastructure, and so forth outside of given developments. Now, that's not a deal killer, but do not rely on that. It is something for the city certainly to consider. With respect to the Willgate thing, it's like, who are they? They formed 10 days ago, and why is the whole deal contingent on approving a management contract with them? Could you tell us exactly in the city funds what is the source of this $500,000 down payment? I know, and I like the idea of the city putting into escrow funds, because otherwise you really are at risk of losing your building sometime during the road. But where are those funds coming from? I'm concerned about threats to the city's ownership from possible liens, recourse notes, non-recourse, secured notes, and in particular, from a notion that, at least in my dealing with the state, well, you don't do something that falls apart. The state wants its tax credits back. Now, it's one thing for Boone County and for a really good lease to say IBM is really on the hook for those lease payments. But you know, I think you really need to look at this recapture stuff and whether that's going to give anybody a loophole in some way around that. Because almost all the credit projects require and say, boy, if this doesn't work, it falls through and so forth, people are out there. They want their money back, and you know what the tax credit atmosphere is in Jeff City these days. Following up on Ms. Fowler's terminology, I mean, I ran several times on the notion that if we do big projects in Columbia that may be good economically generally, may be good for the environment, but they do not close the existing economic, social, and educational gaps of the people who live here right now, we got real problems. And it's not IBM's responsibility to do that, but I would really encourage you to think seriously about how and what funds you're going to need to access and put up to make sure that it really is 90% of the employees who are hired here are from this area. And by the way, that really means they're talking about college graduates. So what are all the things done in elementary school, high school, and so forth to really make that possible, so we really are addressing these social and economic educational opportunities? And then my last question is to IBM. Now, this is somewhat a frivolous question, but my question, I assume somebody from IBM is here, are you bringing Nelson Lamb back to Columbia? He's a friend of mine. He went to IBM. He had a big part in deciding their research facility in Poughkeepsie. Haven't heard from him in 20 years. And I'd love to see him again. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you. Other speakers?
Mr. Mayor, Council, Carl Scala, 5201 Gasconade Drive. I want to take a little bit different tack. There is one kind of a provision comment, and that's a very important one. That's the issue of clawbacks, and it seems to me that that you have taken care of that and are considering it, and the city attorney has suggested that he's going to explain a little bit more about that. Let me say at the outset that I guess you could characterize me as a cheerleader. I know some of the folks in the audience may be surprised to find out that I even consider myself in some ways a cheerleader for economic development. I see this as a positive thing in terms of economic development, but I also see some potential problems only with respect to the process. And again, I think the city attorney said he's going to speak to that issue. And what I mean by that, it kind of mirrors some of the testimony that you just heard from the young lady that was here, and that has to do with the transparency. And that, I suspect, she was talking about the transparency between some of these decisions and the residents and the voters. And that certainly is very important. But there's also a transparency issue between the groups that negotiated this arrangement, this deal, and the city council itself. As a former city councilman, I understand the need for balance here, and this was an expedited process, and you have to balance confidentiality with that expedited process or exigency. But I also think it's very difficult to make serious, large decisions in a vacuum. And my participation in this, not as a vote, but just in terms of whether or not to proceed, I guess you could characterize was a decision based on $3 million, not on $32 million. We really didn't know at the time the extent to which there was a commitment. And I'm not criticizing that commitment. I'm just saying it's very difficult to make an informed decision when you don't have that kind of information. And again, I appreciate the need for confidentiality. I think everyone did remarkably well under the circumstances, given the outcome. But in your discussions, think about certainly those clawback provisions, but also think about how we may be able to improve the process, even in circumstances which are driven by a very short time frame. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Scala. Other speakers?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. My name is Ken Pearson. I'm presiding commissioner here in Boone County. I'm a member of the board of KJEF, that's spelled with a C, and I'm also a resident of Columbia. And I'm here, I'll be brief, I'm here tonight to speak as a member of the commission, and we are in support of this, and we urge you to vote for it. As a board member on KJEF, I urge you to vote for this, and as a resident of Columbia and Boone County, I urge you to vote for this. We think that the economic development of this type is very important to both Columbia, Boone County, and to the entire region, and for that reason, we ask you again to support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pearson.
Mr. Pearson, just a quick question. I noticed that Boone County is going to be enjoying more property and sales tax. I'm wondering what the investment is going to be from Boone County into this project.
We will be working with Ready and IBM and the Bond Council on the Chapter 100 bond. And under that, they will be able to abate half of their property tax, I believe, and they will also, if assuming that the state extends, and I think they have already declared it qualified for an exemption from sales tax, they'll be able to receive an exemption from sales tax on the personal property they purchased for the building. Okay?
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other speakers? Seeing none, council discussion.
Can I ask, I'm not sure who to clarify this with, but my understanding is I think Ms. Beard had brought up a concern about property taxes being eliminated. The property tax portion, is that, if I'm correct, that's only on items owned by IBM, it's not by the folks that actually work there. Is that correct? It'd be personal property in.
Right. It would be the property, personal property that IBM owns.
Not employees.
Correct.
Right. So I don't know if that was what her concern was, but you know.
And on the personal property, it'd be a 50% for 10 years, and then after that, the full amount. Technically, it'd be 100% tax abatement, but there would be a 50% pilot payment in lieu of taxes. So if people talk about 50% reduction in property tax, and that's not exactly technically correct, but it's close to being correct. Yeah, that's for 10 years, and then after that, the property will be reassessed and much higher taxes will be paid.
I have a quick question. Does anyone, or Mr. Brooks or Mr. Griggs, there was an analysis done of benefit over the next 10 years with figures that show the gain for our community, even with these expenditures. Do you happen to have that handy to maybe give a brief synopsis to the general public and the people in the audience?
But I have to find it.
Well, while he's finding that, there were a couple of pertinent questions that were brought up earlier. One of them was Willgate, which I assume is the property management company. Who are those folks?
Jay Birchfield is in the back of the room with Willgate, and John Stace with Little Dixie Construction.
Okay. And the $500,000 down payment, what account is that coming out of specifically?
It's coming out of the Public Improvement Fund, which is a percentage of sales tax that's set aside every year for small capital improvements.
Thanks.
The report that the councilor has asked for, what we've used as the source for this information, again, is the Federal Reserve Board's fiscal impact tool. I'd be happy to share that tool, by the way, with any of you that would like to investigate for yourself. By plugging in the numbers of jobs, the average wage of those jobs, this tool estimates sales tax revenue, it estimates personal property tax and real estate taxes for residents, induced and direct. So when we talk about induced, for example, there will be companies in this community who will purchase additional equipment that will become taxed as a result of supporting this particular project. There will be individuals who are induced in that their employment will be impacted by these jobs, but not directly impacted. So they will be multiplier, the jobs that you would see in retail or personal service. So the numbers, what I'd like to do is share with you annual, because I don't know at what point the 10-year period actually exists on the personal property and real property perspective. But from the estimate that we've used, the school corporation, for example, will benefit by a net. And when I say net, that's taking, removing from the revenue that they would anticipate seeing the real estate abatement through the Chapter 100 and the personal property tax Chapter 100 as well. They would net about $430,000 a year. It's probably important to note, and we didn't make this observation earlier, Project CHIP was the identical same project. There was a few more jobs, but it was the same project. And we didn't offer any incentives to that project, and we didn't even get a second call. So when putting together this proposal, I was asked, share with anyone who asks, what do we anticipate as revenue in the event this company does not elect to come to Columbia? And Mr. Griggs mentioned $25,000, $26,000 a year. That is the current property taxes being paid on that building. There are no employees in that building. There's no sales tax revenue being created by people making wages and spending money in the community. And so over that year's basis, the school corporation could anticipate, for example, not picking on those, but over an annual basis, the school corporation would anticipate $2,708. as their revenue stream if the project doesn't come in. So as we think about the benefits, I understand these are projections based on modeling tools, and so I can't stand here and guarantee you these numbers are going to come through. What I can guarantee you is if the company doesn't come, we're going to get $25,000 a year on that building. That I can guarantee you.
Thank you.
I've got a question for you regarding the transparency and the speed of the process and so forth. I know somebody may mention that we were held hostage or were we held hostage and so forth. I mean, without saying that IBM told us this is what you're going to do and how you're going to do it, is it safe to say that this is a fairly common way for this type of a securing a location goes? I mean, your experience in the other state where you worked, is this similar to things you've seen before?
I have never worked on a project anywhere at any time where confidentiality was not the key driver of the decision. And you know, if you think about this almost as a business decision, how many businesses tell their competitors what they're going to do? I mean, any of you that are in business, do you tell your competitors what you're going to do, what your plans are? Where you're going to put your next store, where you're going to put your next investment? That's the nature of business. And, not to be overly simplistic here, but in some ways, this is the city's business, is creating the kinds of jobs that create wealth in the community. And these jobs will create that wealth in our community. The services that will be provided from a facility here are going to be services that are across this country, not just here in Columbia, not just here in Boone County, and not just here in Missouri. So absolutely, that, you know, as much as we'd like to be public, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen on this project. It's not going to happen on the next project. I've got existing companies we're working on now, and they do not want their identity divulged. I mean, that's the nature of the business.
One comment, one question. The council, the previous council, was involved early on. At first, the identity was hidden and then not. So as elected representatives, we were partners and shared that information. My question is regarding the Columbia Area Jobs Foundation. I think that, if you could explain, was that a bidding process for who is participating in all the contracts there? There was an important point about incorporating the job points, and there's some substantial money involved. So can you explain that process a little bit?
Well, the process of using KJF as a tool to make this deal work was one of recognizing the complexities of speed. And the city, as wonderful as it is, cannot move quickly. And a company that had a criteria that said we have to be in operation by such and such a date, KJF became a important tool to help make this project work. It should be pointed out that the city, the county, and Ready, and the Chamber of Commerce, and businesses in the community are all on that board. It was intended to be a representative board, not just of a limited interest group, but rather a broad interest group. And it was created, in fact, to be in support of job creation in the community. That's the very intent that it was created for. I won't go into the detail, but I'd be happy to share with any of you the history of why it was created. I should make one other point. Go back to Councilor Thornhill's question. There were eight other states in competition. And so, again, going back to this due diligence of why the lack of transparency, if you will, everything that we tell anybody that's reported is reported not just in Columbia, it's reported wherever anybody wants to read it. And so the ability to negotiate in confidence with a client is completely eliminated. In that sense, and none of the other seven communities, seven states, are burdened with that requirement, if you will. And so that's the nature of the game. It's we're all working to the best of our ability to create the kinds of jobs that communities want to see created.
In terms of the construction of the building, Did IBM have input in who they wanted to participate in that? Was it the people who were involved in the process most? How did was that arrived at?
We don't have enough time to describe to you the challenges of putting together the budget for this project. I will share with you that very early in the process, we only had some very generic kinds of understanding of what they required in the space. And so the contractor under NDA with a group of companies that he believed could be the subs to help bring this project to a timely conclusion, began to work with them to understand, you know, their ability to fulfill the contract. I don't think there's any lack of interest in supporting JobPoint or any kind of important training tool in our community. It's, you know, I appreciate hearing the comments. We've got another project that we hopefully will be announcing within the next week to 10 days, maybe 2 weeks. It's a project that very well could be extremely valuable to JobPoint and others. So, you know, every project is somewhat different, and, you know, we do the best we can to bring the right players to the table, the right partners to the table, and so we will work with JobPoint.
One quick question on that note. Do we know approximately how many construction jobs that this project may bring with the, because I understand you're going to be taking that building down to its steel shell and basically essentially rebuilding the exterior and interior?
I believe the numbers from, we use a product called REMS. It's a product from the Bureau of Economic Analysis. That is what creates the opportunity to understand multiplier jobs. Based on a $9 million construction, which is at the time what we used, we would expect about 67 full-time jobs to accomplish that $9 million construction.
I'd ask one more. I think there's been a lot of talk tonight about transparency or the lack of it during the negotiation process, and we've heard yourself and Mr. Griggs and the city attorney talk about why that was important. As we move forward into being a partner with IBM, when can we expect a more transparent atmosphere, a less secret atmosphere? I'm specifically talking about IBM's practice of not disclosing their headcount in the U.S. They've recently changed their policy about that, where they're only saying how many people they employ worldwide. In addition, I'm told a few weeks ago they will not disclose where people work specifically, what, you know, whether they work in East Fishkill or Dubuque or East Lansing. You only, if you go to the directories now in the last 2 weeks, you're only told they work in the U.S. So I'm wondering, it seems like there's a culture of non-disclosure, confidentiality. Is that what we'll be expecting in the future with IBM?
It's a question that I do not have an answer for you. That topic has not come up. So to venture a guess would be just that, would be venturing a guess, and I can't do that.
I'll make a couple comments. Having sat in on some of the negotiations, I can attest to how complex they are, how many moving parts there were. I can attest to the fact that there have been a lot of anxious attorneys working a lot of hours to bring all these different parties together. This has been an agreement between a very diverse number of parties, and I congratulate Reddy, I congratulate Mr. Griggs, I congratulate Mr. Brooks on this achievement. This is a remarkable achievement. I think one of the things we need to keep track of or put in context is that we're bringing in 800 jobs plus another 600 supporting jobs in a time of economic downturn. National unemployment rates are 10%, probably real unemployment rates are 17%. We've gone up from 2 or 3% to 6.9%. Those of us on the council preside over a city whose sales tax revenues have declined, a city who's going to spend $3 million more this year than we're going to take in. This is a wonderful achievement for our city. $70 million of revenue brought into this city from this achievement is remarkable. It's going to accrue to each of us. Anyone who has an unsold home on their block that sees that home sold will see an immediate increase in their net worth. We've lost 5,000 jobs over the last 2.5 years. We're going to fill that gap, a third of that gap, just with this one agreement. I'm impressed with the work that everybody has, the work of those people who have put a lot of time and effort into this. It's good for the city. It's a nice start, but it is only a start. So I personally thank you for what you're bringing to this city.
In addition to what the mayor has said, with bringing in the jobs, bringing in an increased revenue, I really like that it's in where we have existing infrastructure, so that would be reduced cost to the city. It's an adaptive reuse of an existing building. That's a really positive factor and lower impact on the environment. They're interested in improving the transit system. They're a progressive company. They're a partner with the National League of Cities and the Smartest Cities Initiative. So I think they're going to be a great contributing member of the community. It's the type of business that fits really well with our existing city. When I attended the New Partners in Smart Growth 2 years ago in Albuquerque, the mayor and the city manager from Dubuque, who had just received the IBM contract for their community, were extremely excited. And I just checked the news this morning in their newspaper reporting on our success, hopefully, by the vote tonight. And they are still happy about what they did. So I think it's the right thing for the community, and it will be contributing to the economic success of the community, yet preserving the character of the community.
Other comments? Mr. Sturtz?
Well, I'd like to share in similar sentiments. We want to thank all the folks who worked on this, some of whom were just plain old citizens like Mr. Griggs, did this for nothing. Potentially, as we all know, this is a fantastic thing for the city. The numbers that we're hearing from Mr. Brooks are pretty fantastic, and I don't think there's anyone in the city, if that came true, could argue with this deal. I mean, it would be a home run. I do have a few concerns about it. I think it's good for us as a city to have in addition to being cheerleaders about this, to have a healthy bit of skepticism about it. The transparency issue, which has been talked about tonight, I think is a little disquieting, that we went through a process that more or less was a secret to 90.9% of our citizens, and it's not probably something that we would want to do very often, unless the benefits were so tremendous as it appears this could be. We should ask, I guess, as moving forward, that we be availed of the numbers, the number of jobs that are created, the average pay for each of those employees. There have been concerns raised around the country about different accounting procedures that make things look a lot better than they really are. I also have some concerns about the more or less the war on incentives that we find ourselves in with as a city and as a state with other cities and states around the country. I don't think this is the most sustainable way of doing business, and it more or less to me doesn't seem like job creation. It seems like job shifting. I think that if you do some reading on what's happening with IBM's workforce and the high-tech workforce in general, what we're seeing more or less is the shifting of jobs from one city or country to another city or country. And so I find that something that we do need to monitor pretty closely. But, you know, those are big concerns, but I don't think there's any question that we probably do need to take the risk as we move forward, because the potential benefits are great. So I just want us, as an educated community, ask the good questions and keep that healthy skepticism going forward. At the same time, we're cheering on this partnership.
Other council comments?
I would agree, with exception to if we're afraid to take the chance, and an educated, calculated chance, then we'll be where we were 2 years ago. So, I mean, I congratulate everyone who put in the hard work, and understand that in an environment where all I hear about are communities that don't have jobs or lose them, I mean, we're getting more. And make no mistake, IBM would go anywhere they wanted to, and they chose us for basically offering the same thing that seven other communities probably did. So I think that's a testimony to what we have to offer, and the fact that we had the right people working on the job. So.
Other comments? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Council Bill 12210 as amended. Mr. Kessel?
Yes.
Mr. Dudley?
Yes.
Ms. Nowser?
Yes.
Ms. Hoppe?
Yes.
Mr. McDavid?
Yes.
Mr. Sturts?
Yes.
Mr. Thornhill?
Yes.
May I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.